Really just getting back to the simple salt of the earth life. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens. Jeff, we are still in sixth season.
Sixth season?
And not,
sick!
No, not just because we're playing new metal hits from the early 2000s. No. It's not just because we're playing Drive Time Linkin Park every day at 5 p.m.
Sixth season on the on Power 105.
Sixth season. I don't even know if radio exists anymore.
I was just going to say the same thing. We were making references that don't even land.
Like maybe, well, that's half the show. Patreon.com/WeHaveConcerns. But I would not be surprised one day to be driving my car, flip from my phone to the radio, and just hear static. Like in a Cormac McCarthy fucking novel or something.
Can I tell you something? I have an electric car.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, humble brag.
Thank you. I don't know how to get radio on it. Honestly, I like the football, like the NFL.
Sure.
And I was driving, and there was a game on, and I was like, oh, I'd love to listen to the game on the radio. No idea how to do that.
Where?
No idea.
With an antenna?
There was a time when I would literally just turn on the AM dial.
Through the sky?
And there would be sports constantly on the AM dial talking at you.
Just
I have no idea how to get that now.
Just in the air all around us?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Doesn't make sense. Like it. Makes no sense.
Yeah. No, that's not why it's sixth season, Jeff. It's sixth season because it's still winter. Mostly for you, not me.
Well, tell Colorado we are literally having no winter.
Really?
We're having no winter.
There's First of all, congrats.
It's 65 degrees today.
Perfect.
In January in Colorado, I should be buried up to my neck in snow. I should
sure.
be. Sure. There's no snowpack.
If only there was some sort of theory as to what's going on with that.
I can't understand it. It's like the entire globe has warmed.
Weird.
It's weird.
The climate is changing all around me. It feels like from my subjective experience.
Why wouldn't somebody have mentioned this before me?
Yeah, you know? Somebody should do something.
Yeah.
If it's real. And let me tell you something, I'm not convinced. No, it is the winter season. I am still like, oh man, I had a friend. She's got a toddler. She's going through what you went through a few years back, where it's like the toddler is now going to preschool and coming home and being like, friend sneezed on me.
And then they're
like, no, we're sick for 3 months now.
Yeah.
And nobody listens to my advice, which is those plastic tunnels that lead from your house to the outside for cats also fit children.
You're saying like have like an ET situation with the
kid? I'm saying what you need to have is like it looks more like a giant hamster tunnel.
Mm.
You know, there are these tunnels that lead from your window or your back door, wherever you have your cat flap or whatever. And the cats go out this plastic to a plastic room, like the holding cell for Magneto.
Sure.
And like a clear plastic room where the child can sit in the sun and not be in the house. And you can
so you're like, hey, play with daddy through the plastic.
Yes.
Yeah. I love you, but stay on that side of the plastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think that's the way to go. And parents do not listen to me. And so they wind up sick for 3 months at a time.
It is an awful period of time where your kid just comes home with mucus on them, on their face, and you're not sure it's their mucus or
could be
someone
anybody's.
Else's mucus. You don't know.
It might not even be mucus.
Yeah.
Sometimes kid will come home, bird guts. I'm not even kidding.
Feathers in their teeth. I don't know. How did they get there?
It happens. Dude, there was one time when I was teaching preschool, a kid walked in back in from the playground. I was like, Harrison, what is all over you? He's like, I found a bird. It was dead. I was like, holy shit, Harrison.
Of course,
you have 17 different kinds of disease now. I have to leave you on the side of the road and tell your parents you no longer exist, Harrison.
Harrison, you're patient zero for bird flu. That's what you are.
Dude, it's wild the shit kids will get on them.
Goddamn, Harrison.
It's wild. Another kid had a similar type of goop on him, but it was just like tree sap or something, you know? And it's just like, Well, how did you even get to the sap? Like, how did this happen?
Harrison,
we live in Florida. Where did you find tree sap?
Yeah. That's not tree sap.
What happened to you?
It's Harrison and Hamill and Fisher.
That's right.
All the modern kid names, you know?
That's right. Harrison, Hamill, and man, I'll tell you what. If all of those don't make a comeback as first names, Hamill should be a first name. I'm shocked, working for Star Wars as long as I have. I have not met somebody who introduced their youth to me and was like, this is my kid, Hamill. I'm literally shocked.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of Carries and Harrisons and Marks.
Yeah.
Like Star Wars fans will name their kid after anything Star Wars they can.
Sure.
You were lobbying for Kylo for a while.
I wanted it to happen. I mean, we all dodged a bullet that my wife had, you know, was smarter than all of us. But
yeah, the episode 9 of it all really, I think, would have made that not as cool.
The problem is I was, you know, the child was happening before we knew everything. That's the problem, you know?
That's the issue. We were dealing with
limited amounts of information at that
point. Yeah. No, 100%. 100%. Yeah. So, you know, this is sixth season, not just for children, but also for the people children make sick.
What do we do about it, Anthony? What do we do?
Nothing.
Oh.
Nothing.
Right,
you might think it's one of those stories. Yeah, you might think it's one of those stories. It's not. But there's something that I've always thought about when I'm sick, and people talk to me about when I'm sick is when I'm sick, I retreat into a corner. I hide under the house like a dying dog. Like when I'm sick, I don't want to be looked at, thought about.
Sure.
I don't want anybody interacting with me.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's like this to an extent, but some people are like, somebody bring me soup or something. I'm like, nobody bring me anything. Stay 50 yards away from me. If you look at me, I'll hiss at you like a fucking cobra.
And you're doing that for their benefit or because it makes you feel a little better to just cocoon up?
I just don't want anything around me, anything or anyone. I don't know. Where do you fall on that?
I think I am closer to that. I mean, it's nice when someone brings you something, but I definitely, you know, you don't have the energy to talk or
they
breathe.
Need to back away immediately, though.
Yeah.
Like when you stay at one of those fancy Japanese hotels and they bring in your food and then they just like skitter out of the room.
Yeah.
And if you see them, it's like they lose points.
That's your preferred method of dealing with anyone.
That's right.
Yeah.
But particularly when I'm sick.
Interestingly, when I was most like that when I was injured, when I had my eye surgery.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, I was perfectly capable of talking, but I didn't want to. My wife was very concerned about me because she would just find me sitting like perfectly upright, sitting on the edge of the bed in complete darkness in the room, you know, just sitting there awake.
Yeah.
You know,
I remember you telling me like you couldn't even listen to things because you would get a migraine.
Yes, it was hard because your eye, you know, just having your eye move was painful.
Yeah, the vibrations of like literally your ear hearing a sound would travel like to other nerves that were connected to things, and like you, I remember you telling me how much pain you were in.
It was not great, but yeah. So I just wanted to be left alone. I just wanted to, like, just let me suffer. And when the suffering is done, we can reconvene.
When the suffering is done, I will make you suffer as I have suffered.
That's right.
I will get my revenge on you and the world. Yeah, I think everybody sort of feels this way. It was the same thing, you know, when I got into the car accident a couple years back. Like, people would be like, can I come by? Can I see you? I was like, not yet. Mm. Not yet. I'm miserable and I'm in pain and I want to be alone and miserable and in pain. Which is counterintuitive, right? It feels counterintuitive to the human experience. There's probably, you know, it probably would have made you feel better in a way if, you know, if your wife had come in and just sat down and just been there next to you, but she didn't want her there, right? There was something in your mind that told you, I don't want that, even though it might make me feel better. When my friends were calling, it's like, well, maybe I would like a friend to come by. But in my mind at that point, I was like, no.
Right.
And so scientists, researchers have looked into, what's up with that? You know,
they found a bunch of people that didn't want them around and they got really close and studied them.
There's nothing scientists love more. If you're like, no, I'm sick. I have a very rare illness that nobody knows anything about. They're like, ooh,
I'm going to get close to that.
Let me poke you with poking stuff. Ooh, let me ask you 3,000 questions so we can learn.
What if I rub myself on you?
Yeah, is this bad? Is this bad or is it better? Take this tree sap and bird guts and rub it all over yourself. See how you feel.
Yeah.
You would think the easy answer is, I'm tired. I don't feel good. I don't feel like interacting. It's the fact that I'm sick that makes me not want to interact, right?
Uh-huh.
But Jeff, what if I told you we fucked around with some mice and found out that what's up with that is different than what we thought was up with that.
This feels like a hard one to study on mice. Like, the mice didn't want you to be around. They were like, please just give me 2 days, buddy.
Yeah, the mice were the like, mouse. Well, 2 days. And for a mouse, that's like 10 years.
Yeah.
I don't know how long a mouse lives in nature, but I'll tell you, in a lab situation,
it's not long.
It's not long. So this is a study that was published in Cell. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to check out what specific immune signals and brain pathways switch on when mice fall ill and are they connected physiologically.
By the way, it's not called Cell. You'd think it's because it's about biology. It's called Cell because that's how the mice live.
That's right. The mice are like, you're trapped in here with me.
It's a journal about just fucked up shit we did to mice. We call it purgatory.
That's right. Mouse purgatory. It did not sell as many copies. But Cell, that's a good, strong brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mouse purgatory makes you think too much about the mice. This was at MIT, so you know it's a bunch of smarties.
Yeah.
Everywhere we talk about that does this research, everyone's a smarty. But this is a smarty that idiots like me and Jeff recognize.
Yes.
We know MIT.
Sure. We're always quoting places in Germany or Asia. You know, we don't have any point of reference. You say an MIT, now we're perked up. Now we're listening.
We don't like we know MIT. USA. We know Oxford. Sure. We know the Max Planck Institute.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. We know
that's
that
a good one. We know the Max Schreck Institute.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
we know
the one,
that
the, that's the one where everybody is big and green and has little thingies on the top of their head.
Well, I was going to say that's the one where the secretary mysteriously fell out a window.
That too.
Yeah. but yes, it's like, if you're a younger listener, Jeff made the appropriate joke for you, which is shocking.
I don't know. Shrek is like 30 years old now.
Shrek 7 is coming out or whatever. They got a Zendaya now.
Oh, they got a Zendaya?
They got a Zendaya now.
I was not informed.
Yeah, she's not just Michi, dude. Right. You think Zendaya's just Michi? She's so much more than Michi.
I know she's... I don't want to underestimate Zendaya and just Michi her.
No, you don't want to just like put her in a Michi box. Do you know, I went to the Pop Mart at the mall and tried to get a Michi box for a friend of mine, and they were completely sold out. Those things are so popular.
Okay. It's the Zendaya effect.
It's the Zendaya effect. Anyway, this is a study that was done at MIT. Shut up, everybody. We're not joking around anymore.
How did they make the mice? How did they determine whether the mice wanted you to leave them alone or not?
So it was more about whether the mice were going to leave each other alone more than they normally do.
Oh, I see. They always want the scientists to leave them alone.
Yeah, they listen. Any mice worth its salt, any mises worth its salt, sees a scientist approaching the enclosure and is like, fuck, 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 fuck.
God damn it. Today's going to be painful.
Yeah, I feel like they learn that real fast.
Yeah.
But they do like to huddle together, terrified, as the scientists experiment on them. That's what I imagine anyway. So what they did was they wanted to figure out what's going on when mice get sick in their brains and in their and in the sort of immune system and how those are connected. What they did is they exposed mice to a component of bacterial cell membranes. It's a lipopolysaccharide. Basically, they infected them with this bit of a bacteria.
Okay.
Right? Or with a whole bacteria in some cases. Basically, they made the mice sick.
This is like what my parents did when I was a kid for chickenpox.
That's right.
Like, go play with the chickenpox kids. Go play with them. Lick one or two.
Can I tell you what, dude? I'm so glad my parents did that. I've watched a couple of my friends get adult chickenpox. Well, oh my God, dude.
You don't have to do that anymore. There's a vaccine for chickenpox now.
Oh my God. But you got to make them play with the kids.
Well, no, when we were kids, that's how they did it. They just like, you got to get the chickenpox. My kids have never had chickenpox. They have a vaccine for chickenpox.
Damn. Truly, we live in a wondrous age.
Yeah. So it's another vaccine for people to not give their kids.
To not give their kids. But I'll tell you what, when we did not have the vaccine and they sent me to play with the kid with chickenpox, number one, I didn't know what they were doing, obviously. They were like, go play with...
No.
You're going over to Tommy Perricone's house. And I was like, I never go to Tommy Perricone's house. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I've been to Tommy Perricone's house twice. Which, like, listen, Tommy Perricone's house, not a bad place to go. He had sick toys.
I bet.
Tommy Perricone, he didn't have... I think I may have told the story about Tommy Perricone literally on this show before. Tommy Perricone was in the second grade. Are you ready for this shit, Jeff?
Yeah.
He did not have the Ghostbusters Firehouse playset, but his mother sat at home over a period of a couple weeks and built him a custom Ghostbusters Firehouse.
Whoa.
And it had everything the real one was supposed to have and more. It had the pole. It had a containment unit. It had a place for the Ecto-1. She made it out of like cardboard and shit, dude.
If his mom was even remotely attractive, everyone called her Mommy Perricones, right?
Oh, that was definitely Mommy Perricone. I don't know. I did not clock it at the age of seven. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Just saying, you're setting your kid up for torment if you're
I didn't clock it, and I did not live in the same neighborhood as Tommy Perricone by the time we all hit puberty, so I don't know how that was for him and his mother. All I can tell you is that he had a sick Ghostbusters Firehouse and the fucking chicken pox. And the fucking chicken pox.
Yeah.
I've had friends that had adult chicken pox, and it's a fucking nightmare, dude. Well, like, it'll kill you.
Yeah.
I had a friend who was like, I got a chicken pox, like it was on my eye.
You're not supposed to get pox on your eye?
I was
unless
like,
someone, you know, like a witch curses you and she says a pox upon your eyes.
Yeah, no, dude. And it was like, I couldn't open my eye or close my eye without scratching the pox that was on my eye. It's an eye pox.
That's why witches do that.
Yeah, dude, that's why witches do that. That's why they say a pox upon your eyes, a curse upon your eyes. Because that's the worst part. What witch do you think you made angry a couple years back when you had to have your eye surgery?
That is a great question.
Because we know that I hit one with my car.
You did. Maybe. Did I take the... No, you also got hit. You also had fallout from that.
Yeah, I got hit by a car afterwards.
Yeah, I feel like that was a one-to-one.
Doesn't take Richard Bachman to write that one.
That was a real one-to-one.
Yeah, that's a little on the nose is what they'd say in literary school.
Yours was on the nose. Mine was on the eye.
That's right.
Yeah.
So here's what they did. They made a mouse sick.
Okay.
a lot of mice sick, probably.
And then they saw whether they hung out with each other?
Yeah, and they confirmed that a mice's actually being sick makes them socially withdraw and spend more time alone.
All right.
Then what they did is they took the mice and they injected them with 21 different cytokines. Now, cytokines Sweet. Are chemicals that basically, like, they are produced by immune cells in response to infections. So what they did is they were like, okay, we know that being sick does this. Now let's skip the being sick and just do the chemical reaction to being sick and see how the mice react. And now these cytokines should not have changed the way that the mice felt physically, right?
Okay.
This is not anything that's going to make the mouse feel sick. It's not going to give them any symptoms. It's not going to mess with the amount of energy they have.
So this is basically a way of removing the behavior aspect, right?
Yes, it's like, exactly.
Give them the, you know, the biological remnants of sickness without the behavioral impact.
That's right. And so it's like, hey, am I retreating just because I feel nasty? My throat right. hurts. I've got a stuffy nose and I want to be left alone. Or is it something else? And the answer is, it's something else.
Huh. What else is it?
It is a cytokine called IL-1 beta. And what they basically found out is that there are these serotonin-producing cells in a brain area called the dorsal RAF nucleus. It's next to the dorsal Donnie nucleus in front of the dorsal Mikey nucleus.
Yeah. The dorsal RAF nucleus is
it's the cool
red.
But rude one.
It's the
yeah. It's cool, but it's rude.
It's in charge of when you sigh.
That's right. That's right. It's an Oscar-winning nucleus that's like, it's not pronounced Ralph.
Mm, yeah.
That's what it is. They found out that it reacted to this cytokine and they were like, ooh, that's kind of neat. That's kind of cool. What else can we do to these fucking mice?
Yeah.
We kind of already have our answer, but like, what do we do?
They're still alive, so yeah. What are we going to do?
Yeah, we got all these living mice. They're not dead yet, and we're only halfway through the day.
Paid all this money, and they're still alive, so
yeah.
Like, you know.
I mean, I can't leave early anymore because my boss like is catching on to the fact that I'm finishing my experiments early, killing the mice before noon, going out to a long martini lunch.
Yeah.
So what else can we do to these mice? And so what they did was they gave them something that we've been reading about them giving mice more and more over the last few years, which is sort of a genetic remote control switch that they could turn on with like a remote release drug.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And what they do is they could activate the cells of that dorsal RAF nucleus without even the IL-1B, right? Now we're removing even the side effects of being sick.
Okay.
Now what we're doing is we're activating this brain region without any form of sickness in the body or anything that's directly connected to sickness. And what they found was the moment those brain cells were activated, mice went away. They wanted to spend time alone.
It's all inside your head.
It's all inside your head. But... why is it all inside our head? Why is it all inside our head and what is going on with it? And the answer is we are potentially programmed when we are sick to want to get away simply to stop the rest of the population from being sick.
Save the tribe.
That's right. We want to be left alone. We don't know why. We think it's because we feel nasty, but it's not because we feel nasty. It's because we currently pose a danger to the population, and so we want to get away from the population.
It gives an evolutionary benefit to life.
That's right. That's right. So it's not a secondary consequence of physiological symptoms. And they believe that this sort of thing does happen even when we are, like, given vaccines. Right?
Right. Because our body doesn't know the difference. It just has that switch turned on and says, okay, guess what? Time to save the tribe by sacrificing myself.
It's like, I used to live by one of the big clinics, hospitals in the area. And if you were walking by, around this time of the year that, you know, they'll have people set up outside. They'll be like, do you want a free flu shot? You know, you go to the CVS, yeah. Do you want a free flu shot? They're like, flu shots are free because the government and the healthcare system does not want the expense of dealing with people that have the flu, right? Yeah. So.
Although, stay tuned. Who knows at this point?
Yeah, I don't know. We may decide that we may ask AI if the flu can be solved with, I don't know, fucking Twizzlers or some shit, whatever it is RFK is eating.
Yeah.
Something, the gallbladder of a fucking Malmut or something. He's just like, you got to eat.
Shit in his trunk. Yeah, just eat.
He'll hit. I've seen RFK Jr. hit something on the road and just stop and just devour it right there before it gets cold.
Yeah. He's, you know, his little Harrison all grows up.
That's right. So there's this thing you would walk by and you'd see like, hey, do you want to get a free flu shot? And it's like, it takes 2 minutes. You know, you're going to feel better. Yeah. You get like all of this stuff, but nobody wants to get the flu shot when they're walking by on their lunch hour because nobody wants to go back to work after getting the flu shot.
Mm.
And I don't even feel particularly bad after a flu shot. Some people it lays out, right?
Yeah.
I never did. I just didn't want to do it. It was like, nah, I don't want to go back to work after I get the flu shot. Why? Because my brain has been trained to go like, oh, no. We're not going to want to be at work after this. We're not going to want to be dealing with people after this.
I'm protecting all of you.
That's right.
By going home and watching old Seinfelds.
That's right. You got to watch the old Seinfelds. That's what's important. Yeah. Hey, this is a real question, tangentially related to the show. When you were a kid, what was your sick home from school movie or movies?
Oh, man. So my dad had a very robust VHS collection. And by collection, I don't mean things that he purchased at the store. I mean things that he recorded off of TV.
Oh, yeah.
On the long play version of the VHS tape. So you could squish three movies on there, sacrificing all the quality. So I had a very robust library of options. I mean, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, always great.
Yeah.
I loved Ghostbusters, Star Wars, of course, you know, just all my favorite movies. I would stay home. You get the VHS tape of your favorite movies.
Yeah.
And you just watch those.
I was either Goonies or Superman.
Oh, like Richard Donner.
Yeah, it was and you know, as a kid, I didn't make that connection, but yeah, it was Richard Donner Day.
Yeah.
If you're sick, it's an old Dickie Donner Day is what they call it.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, those are winners. I definitely watched Goonies a couple times when I was sick for sure. Yeah.
Oh, and Willow. Not to throw off the Dick Donner of it all, but Willow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, this is a thing that we actually do. We have this impulse to seek solitude and rest, right? Like it's not just for everybody's benefit. It is for ours.
Sure.
But it's interesting because here's the thing, even though it's connected to just this particular cluster of the brain.
Yeah.
Now what we need to think about is what else does this cluster of the brain respond to, right?
Right.
Because even though you can biologically and chemically remove it from being sick, if it doesn't light up in this way for anything else, then it's functionally, it makes no difference. This is the thing that you do when you're sick, and it is being sick that causes it, right?
Yeah.
If this is the only time the brain responds this way.
Man, it's wild how many systems, you know, it's all just natural selection, right? Mm-hmm. It's the creatures that had the ability to save the tribe, you know, that didn't infect other creatures, got to procreate, and those that got to procreate continued to manifest that feature in their brain, and here we have it. It's just crazy to me how many systems there are, though, that fit that category.
Yeah, it really is. And the only thing that I could think about is, after I read this, is how are they going to try to take advantage of this? Do you know what I mean? It's like when we talked about you know, research into, hey, can we make it so you can stay awake 24 hours a day? And you and I were like, think about all the books we'd read and all that. And I was like, no. That means 20-hour shifts.
Yeah, that's work, that, baby.
That means 20-hour. You don't get to enjoy that. They get to enjoy that. So for me, it's like, well, if we can get rid of the people wanting to retreat and be alone when they're not feeling well, could we get them to do a little more drive and DoorDash?
Yeah. That gig economy is not going to serve itself, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Somebody has got to deliver this $35 McDonald's.
Yeah.
Who's going to do it if everybody's sick? Sick person who doesn't care.
Yeah.
Although here's the joke's on you, capitalism. We're already a bunch of sick people who don't care. We're already there.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It's wild to me that we have these, also we have these sensations, we have these impulses that are hidden to us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That like, it just, it feels, you know, and this is all back to the bugaboo that I enjoy reading and learning about of, you know, whether we have free will or not. But and I'm inclined to believe no. And I think this is stuff that points that direction where it's like, you thought, I don't feel like hanging out with people. You thought you were making a decision. You thought that's what's going to make me feel better. And there's this little thing in your brain that you have no power or control in and no insight into. You have no clarity on the fact that there's a little switch in your brain that goes, boop, let's save the tribe. You know? Yeah.
You're not a singular you. You're a democratic republic.
That's right.
You are a democratic republic of gut bacteria and brain chemicals.
Yeah.
And whether you're breathing the right way.
Yeah.
All of these tiny little things that add up to decide what kind of decision you're going to make. That's why I always tell people something I always tell people when they are like, hey man, do you get stage fright, or what do I do about stage fright? Mm-hmm. And I go, nope. And you don't get it either. And they're like, what do you mean? I was like, you don't get it either. I was like, physiologically, being super excited and being scared are almost exactly the same feeling.
Right.
There is a psychological decision that you're making that makes you decide that you are afraid instead of excited.
Yeah.
Right? Because you know you're not in a life or death situation. This is, you're going up to give a presentation about something that, like, you know, usually it's people who are asking me this are like corporate people. It's like, I'm really excited because I've been working on this thing and I can't wait to show everybody I've been working with, like, what I've been doing. And I don't know why I get stage fright. I'm like, you don't, you're excited.
Right.
I was like, you're really excited. You've been working on this thing for a while. Like, don't scare yourself. And it's the same thing when we talk about with airplanes, where like the pressure on the airplane makes you feel like, I'm sad, I want to cry. No, it's just pressure in the same part of your chest that a cold puts pressure on your chest.
Right.
It's so crazy, like, how little awareness of all these, like you're saying, these interconnecting, interlocking systems we are.
Well, it's worse than not being aware. We have a complete misconception about it.
Yeah.
You know, we have, you know, you I think you have said many, many times, like, oh, I feel like this, I feel that, what is going on? Why am I so, have a sandwich. Have a sandwich, right? Yeah. Like, maybe, like, literally, we're so blind to the fact that our body is like, I just need some nourishment right now. I'm low blood sugar. We're just completely obfuscated from that fundamental thing that our body is desperately trying to communicate to us in the most clumsy way possible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think there are two things. I think in you and I can pinpoint two things that really sort of changed and made us better at that. Number one is, like, I have chronic illness now, so I pay attention to these things. And, like, before I have a total breakdown about, like, oh God, I'm having a flare up and I'm going to have to be in bed for 4 days and blah, blah, blah. It's like, hey man, Did you stretch and drink water?
Right.
Did you stretch and drink water? And then you, I think, like, you were telling me how much you noticed it in your kids. And you were like, oh, God, how much am I doing this?
Right. Yes. Well, that's, I think that's, it's easy to see it in other people sometimes. It's easier to see it in other people than in yourself sometimes. And some, you can try to draw those lessons. But, you know, I don't know how far down the rabbit hole of deterministic, you know, philosophy I agree with, but it's hard not to think that at a certain point you can, like, the way they found this little thing in the mice based on what they know sickness does, I wonder if on a certain level, if we could get all the information, you could just make those, trace those lines for literally everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, literally everything is, well, this little bit of thing is built into the human psyche so that, you know, now you yell at your neighbor, you know, whatever
it is. Yeah, even if it's a habit or a learned behavior or an environmental thing,
yeah,
it is something that's causing a physiological trigger in you.
Right.
Right? It there is a small physiological trigger somewhere. And that's what's sort of interesting when you get into research about... you know, I'm on my ADHD medication, and I occasionally have to do a cycle of antidepressants and things like that.
Yeah.
And you get into this thing where this is why we have the big arguments we have about behavior and therapy versus medication and, you know, chemical answers to things, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, how much do we have control over? How easy is it to control it? How easy is it to control for people who are in different demographics or different populations? And it, you know, if you dig down really far into it like we are now, you get into a lot of like really thorny ethical stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because at a certain point you go, well, is anybody culpable for any of their actions on a fundamental level? You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Yeah. Or like, hey, are you really sick, or could you just will yourself to be better?
Right.
You know, I had a thing at a medical office the other week where it was not with a doctor, it was not with anybody who had medical training. It was in their like billing department and stuff like that. I had my New Year's visit to the medical billing office.
It's a lovely tradition.
Oh, the clock strikes midnight and you start getting texts and emails from your insurance from the Affordable Care Act healthcare marketplace saying fuck you, and you go, was that Santa Claus? No, that was not. That was the governor of our great state. So yeah, I had to go to this medical billing office, and we were chatting while they were doing a bunch of paperwork for me. And you know, I was talking about sort of my illness a little bit and my chronic, and you know, there was this woman in the office that was like, but have you tried like a fast or like a diet thing, or like I do a thing where I, and I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me right now? Are you fucking, this is the, because this is the problem, right? With too much information and not enough information about the why and the interconnectedness of it, right?
Yeah.
We have all this different information. We know, like, there's so many studies. If you think positively, if you do this, if you do that,
right,
you know, it leads to people feeling X percent better. And all that leads to, you know, a bunch of mumbo jumbo and a bunch of, you know, quackery and a bunch of con artistry and a bunch of vertical ads that you see on Instagram that are telling you that, like, oh, a meditation app will make you feel physically better. This notebook where you keep track of your diet will make you physically feel better. All of these things, right? And so it can lead to this woman sitting in this office with the best intentions in the world for me.
Yeah, right.
Telling me, have you tried drinking more water?
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, I've tried drinking more water. Thank you. Yeah, if it was just an issue of drinking more water, I think we would have nailed it by now.
Well, I do think the takeaway for me from all this stuff maybe is a little simplistic, but I think it's really, you know, have patience with yourself.
Yes.
And understand that, you know, you can sort of take care of the ground level foundational, like you're saying, like, you know, make sure you have, did you stretch? Did you drink some water? Did you get some sleep? Did you, like, have patience with yourself and understand that you're not choosing to do X, Y, or Z. Your body is reacting to certain things and you're not aware of all of them, but there's certain things under your control that you can rule out right away, you know? And a lot of times that's going to catch a lot of the stuff that you don't think has anything to do with that because your dumb brain doesn't make the connection to something that seems disconnected, but is not, you know?
And that's, you know, medically, emotionally, all this stuff. It's like once you have this awareness of how the systems work and how your brain works and, you know, regardless of what they find from doing continued study in this area, what you can find from this is like, oh, well, if I take my meds and I'm not contagious, like maybe it is better for me to be around people when I'm sick because we know right. that, we know that, you know, also social interaction and having people around to help does make you feel better emotionally, right. which can lead to you getting better faster physically, yeah. Yeah. right? And so now that we know it's like, oh, this is less a preference and more my brain trying to keep other people safe.
Right.
But it's okay, brain. We're on the medication that makes everybody safe.
Yeah.
My friend can bring soup for me.
I don't have to die underneath the house. You know, alone.
Well, that's my choice. I'd love to die underneath the house. When everybody's like, how would you like to go out? You know what I mean? And I list my three favorite ways. Number one is I want to be looking into a nuclear explosion.
Sure.
I want to
so
be
that
the
your shadow stays forever on
yeah,
the
yeah, yeah, yeah. I want to be like
you.
The lone person looking into... Okay, I either want to be the lone person like on the mountain... on the outcropping, looking at the nuclear explosion in the distance with a single tear in my eye, right?
Yeah.
I either want to be that person or I want to be Sarah Connor where from T2 where I'm shaking the fence so hard that when the bomb vaporizes me, my skeleton is still shaking the fence.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a great way to go out. I also think just, you know, being under the house by myself where it's cool and dark would be nice.
Like a Wicked Witch of the East kind of situation? Just
No, not crushed by house. House no. doesn't cause death.
Oh, I see. Just where you went to die.
Farmer's dog.
Farmer's dog. Gotcha.
Farmer's dog. I will go under the house, and you will find me peacefully resting later that day.
Maybe not later that day. Maybe weeks later.
That's
maybe
what they don't tell you.
Maybe the smell will draw you down to look.
That's what they don't tell you about the beautifully sad, noble story of the farmer's dog going under the house. Is like, sometimes they don't find that dog right away. And then also, someone's got to get that dog out from under the house.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to reach under there.
Yeah. That's a sad moment where you have to belly crawl to your dog's corpse under the house.
Mm-hmm. But
that's,
you know,
that's rough.
When you have to belly crawl under my house to get my corpse, I like to think of that as a strengthening experience for you, Jeffrey.
It certainly will be memorable.
Yeah. And then remember, you have promised previously to make sure that my corpse gets dropped into a shark tank at an aquarium on the day that a school children are visiting.
I did. Although I thought we pivoted to full taxidermy for you.
I'm going to, you know what? Heads or tails? Heads or tails?
Heads, always heads.
All right, heads is taxidermy. Heads, it's taxidermy. You have to have me as a taxidermy little butler in your home.
Woohoo! That's what I was hoping for. Honestly, the logistics of the school children thing was a little bit
It's a lot for you to plan.
Yeah.
It's a lot for you to plan, and my estate attorney did tell me that. The estate attorney did tell me, it's like, hey, we can't compel somebody legally to do this.
Yeah.
We can only say that it's your wishes. And this is kind of complicated.
That's why there's that little piece in my brain that switches on when you die that tells me I need to do it.
That's right. That's right. There's a little piece of Jeff's brain that switches on every time we have to record that makes him want to hide under the house.
That's true.
Because he knows that I'm going to bring something like this to the table. Every time it's like, hey, I need you to do another thing for me. It's like, and you're just like, is this about death again? Yeah, it's always about death. Yeah.
The list keeps getting longer, man.
You caught me. It's about death. But there you go. Just another interesting story about how our brains work and how we are kind of programmed to protect each other and be part of a larger group, which
it's kind of beautiful. I also think the next time I get sick, I'm going to be much more aware of this. I'm going to be thinking like, oh, hey, do I have that impulse to retreat and hide? That's interesting. I think it's really interesting to kind of have insight into those mechanisms that, like I said, are so concealed. And so we're just not aware of them, you know, going through moment to moment. And yet they have such a huge impact on our behavior. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Also, hey, big ups to those dudes killing so many mice for this.
Hey, once again, shout out to the mice killers doing the real work in the trenches.
It's we wouldn't have a show without so many dead mice.
Oh, man. Congratulations to all the mouse killers. You really are helping us learn a lot. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I would love to hear from y'all if you are the sort of people who retreat into themselves. You know, last time we also asked you to come to the Discord and tell us about your favorite non-Christmas movies. And I do want to say, Dire Nair mentioned a good one. There are Christmas trees in the police station in First Blood.
Wow.
In the first Rambo movie.
Wow.
So Rambo is getting, John Rambo is being arrested on Christmas.
Christmas?
Wow. So
no,
it might be a Christmas movie.
Killing spree.
Yeah, it might be a Christmas murder spree. This time, I would love to know what movies y'all watch when you're sick. Like, what's your feel good movie when you're feeling sick or just a little out of it, and you need a pick me up? Great place to leave those is on our Discord.
Yep, and the Discord is only for supporters of the show. You don't have to dig deep in the pockets. A dollar a month gets you access to that Discord at patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. But if you do have a little bit more, if you get a little more value out of the show, you want to give a little value back, you can get more cool stuff.
That's right. We get bonus episodes, Q&As, video versions of the episodes, all kinds of lovely things. You can check it out at patreon.com/wehaveconcerns.